Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And it is Tuesday evening, and I'm always excited because Tuesday evening is my show, and it is time for me to play and talk with you. So tonight we have a really, really great show coming on with Miss Robin Hatcher, who is a speaker and coach, and you're going to hear about her life and her coaching and her business and what has her do what she does, which is help people to elevate their communication style and skills. And before that, well, I'm going to have a rant about, you know, my life. No, it's not really a rant. So today, like, what did I do today? Today was a really good day. I did a lunch and learn and at NABARD, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners. And that was really, really great. That I love doing those. I love helping people to learn. You know, when I learn, people learn. I love to give that away. And this cold weather is just absolutely... Yesterday was 7 degrees?
Well, it's nice to hear because I did not see any of it. I stayed in my house in my jammies all day.
Okay. So I was up and out at 6 a.m. I exercised and then I went to my I have a meditation partner. So I just, she's like 2 minutes from my house. And so I went to her house to like do our meditation and then came back. And I tell you what, it was so, so, so cold.
Yeah.
But I'm happy today that it is warmer.
Yeah.
It's still cold, but it's warmer. And all I just want to say is like, really, I don't have anything to rant about. I'm like really happy in my life. And I'm really proud to say that because I think it takes something to be happy in your life, despite, you know, there are things that are not working mm-hmm. and there are things that are not working as well as I'd like them to, but I'm working on them. But overall, I can say that I'm really happy and I like the way I look today. So less of me and let's talk to Robin. So Robin, welcome to Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. So I met Robin. How did we meet? We met through Tanya. Tanya Sterl. Yes.
Yes.
And that was what, just last year?
That was last year. I came to a NABO event and you were there and Tanya introduced us.
Absolutely.
She said, you've got to meet Noreen. She's great.
Yeah, she kept on saying, you have to meet Robin. You have to meet Robin. And then I invited you to come to that international networking event.
That's
a really good event.
Have you been back?
No, I haven't. I am going to go back. I was looking at one of them again this week. But I met some really good people there.
Yeah.
And it was a great opportunity to use that because what I did is I invited some of my clients to go to that as well because, and what I charged them with was to go out and network, right? So I would choose, I like playing games, right? So I would choose a person, I'd say, go meet that person. And they'd be like, really? I'm like, yes, go meet that person, find out about.
Well, that's a really interesting thing because when I teach networking, I tell people to make it a game.
Right.
Because so many people are so afraid of networking or intimidated by networking or have this whole horror stories about networking.
Right.
So, but if you're making it a game, instead of networking,
net play.
Make it net exploring.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like
Absolutely.
Dora the Explorer, you go and you explore and you find new things.
Well, what was great about that event is that one of my clients, she's so gorgeous. She's like,
Isn't she gorgeous? Yes, she's gorgeous.
Right. And I said to her, go out because she wanted to get herself an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go out and talk to I chose that person. Go talk.
He looks like an accountant.
Talk to that person. And so she went over and spoke to this girl and she actually got herself a really great accountant.
Fabulous.
And yeah, so I met some really good, I always meet people, but I love networking. I think networking for me is the lifeblood of any business that you're doing. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, for sure. I mean, most of the really great events that I've spoken at, clients that I've gotten, people that I've met, I've gotten through networking.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of these individuals that don't like networking, well, what's going to happen?
You're going to have net zero.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think her mouth is close enough to the mic? So you have to beat your mic. Your mic is your best friend.
I love my mic. So, hey.
So anyway, Robin,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about you. How did you get into being a speaker and coach? A speaker's coach.
A speaker's coach and a speaking coach and communication coach. It was a long and winding road.
Mm-hmm. Once upon a time.
Yeah, once upon a time. And it's I feel like so many people have long and winding roads. And what I realize is every single step that I took along that road taught me something mm-hmm. that made me who I am today. So I don't regret anything. And you never know where you're going to end up. Right. I started off as a incredibly shy child. To overcome that shyness, I somehow landed into the world of acting. Mm-hmm. From acting, I started coming a little bit out of my shell. But to make a living, when I was in New York, you know, trying to make a living as an actress, I'm originally from Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
So I did a lot of acting in Philadelphia. I met my soon-to-be husband. We moved to New York. And to make money, I started teaching English as a second language.
Okay.
So I was teaching English as a second language at Baruch College, and I was teaching adults, and I got really tired of just doing grammar and
same old
stuff. And what I started realizing is that these students were really had great personalities. They were lovely, but they really still weren't comfortable speaking.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much English I got down them, how much grammar they learned, mm-hmm. they still did not feel comfortable going out and having a conversation. Right. So I said, that's what I want to fix. I had this compassion because having been shy all my life, yeah. I know what it's like to be in an environment.
What is it like to be shy? I have no idea.
Well, the way that I like to think about it is being shy is like being in a straitjacket. And for me, that's what it was like. It was like I had, and it was this uncontrollable or ununderstandable fear that I had of other people seeing me.
Okay.
And so that fear.
And they saw you all the time,
I saw me all the time, but I didn't want to be seen.
Right.
And so as a child, that manifested in me hiding behind my mother's legs every time somebody came to even look at me.
Right.
And so that manifested in years and years of being shy, which created layers. Because what happens is then you hide. And then what happens is very interesting is it becomes safe. Because the more layers you have and the more people don't expect things of you, mm-hmm. the safer you are. Because then also nobody can intrude into your life either right. because you sort of become invisible. So there was a double-edged sword about being shy. It kept me safe from a lot of things, and it taught me a lot of things, too, mm-hmm. because nobody had expectations of me. So I could be like a fly in the wall. You right. know how you wanted to be a fly in the wall? Like, it was like, oh, Robin's not really here. So I was like a fly in the wall, but I observed so much. And I tell you that my clients right now are always amazed at the instincts that I have and how quickly I can understand things, I can see things, because I spent so many years not talking but right. observing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when I encountered these second language students who had this burning, I saw it in, because as a child, I also knew that there was something inside of me that was shining and wanted to come out,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have the skill set or the confidence to let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started seeing my second language students and I had that identification, it's like, yeah, they have that same thing. They have these sparks, but they don't have the language. They don't have the tools mm-hmm. to be able to let it out. And I wanted to give that to them. And so when I was teaching English as a second language, I designed a public speaking class mm-hmm. for my higher level students. And I said, you know what? You take this class and I go to Baruch. I said, this is what I want to do. I'll teach grammar if it's necessary. I'll teach sentence structure and I'll teach vocabulary when and if it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But this class is a public speaking class.
Right.
And I want them to get that confidence so that they can walk out into the street in New York and have a conversation. And so I developed all of these exercises. I married some of my acting exercises, some of the language teaching exercises that were prominent at the time. And I created a class where all they got to do was do interview skills, do presentations, do debates. And then I started inviting the rest of their classmates in to watch them because I knew that that higher level of adrenaline right. would even push them further.
Right.
And it was just astounding the advances
look
that
at your
people
passion.
Had.
Look
I know.
It's so exciting.
I loved
I'm
it.
Getting chills.
You know? Yeah, it was like the moment when I'll never forget, like we had this kind of assembly for my second language students, and I had these four Asian girls, maybe two Russians and something, and I had them singing My Girl from The Temptations.
Okay.
Because it was so perfect because it had some grammar structures in it. So, you know, after they sang that, the look on their faces was just the power that they had.
Right.
And then I would do these public debates where I would invite all their teachers and all of the rest of their classmates, and I would force them to debate a really, really controversial issue in front of their peers. I mean, you cannot get a higher level of cortisol than that.
Right.
But once they did that, and they all did it, and even their teachers would come up to me afterwards like,
How did you do that? Right.
Yeah. And that's, and from then on, I fell in love with the art of communication, the art of public speaking, and the art of getting something out of someone who thinks that may not be there.
Right.
And that's what I do now.
Well, I think that's pretty impressive, and I can feel the passion,
and
I feel the love, and that's that. And now I can sort of understand why people are so enamored by you, because you get really engrossed in what you're doing. And so I imagine that all your people came away learning English really quickly.
Yes, yeah, and that's what happens. It's like once you get through that stress and all, like the acclimation of the language is just easy after that,
right?
You know, because so much of it is hormonal. So much of it is stress, and so much of it is the mindset. And if you get that mindset, it's like, you know what? Hey, I know how to communicate. You know, maybe my grammar's not that great, but I can talk to you because I've got these skills. Right. I know what the body language is. I know what the vocal tone is. I know how to do this. Right. And then it changes your life.
And so when you're actually teaching them to speak English, mm-hmm. who are they in their native tongues? Because I've done coaching with people who have are born in different cultures or speak a different language, and I get them to express themselves the way they would express themselves in their native language, that they way they can articulate what it is they want to and feel it and bring it to the English. So what kinds of individuals were they, outgoing individuals in their native languages? Or,
you know, it's very interesting because they're all different types.
Right.
And that's when I sat down to write my book, Standing Ovation Presentations. It helped a lot having taught that, because what I started seeing is that there were so many different types in all different cultures, and it had very little to do with their personality and their type or their culture, but they were in each culture. You got these different personalities.
Right.
Some of them seemed more outgoing. Some of them seemed shyer. Some of them, you know, I've got your ingenue, which is your innocent person. You've got the whiz kid who is all about data.
Right.
You've got the buddy who is like wants to be friends. And they exist in every culture and
Absolutely.
Every personality.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I saw in each person. And that's what I see in people now, too.
Cool. You saying that the ingenue, the buddy, the whiz kid, sounds like you did a lot of neuroscience stuff.
Yes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Robin Hatcher, who is a coach, communication specialist. She's just the woman to go to if you need to learn to speak and if you need to learn to do public speaking in the correct manner, would you say?
Oh, yes. And correct and in your manner. Yeah, because absolutely. I feel like there's like not one way fits all.
Right.
And I love that's why I love the name of your show, because it's about potential. It's about finding your potential and bringing it forward.
Right. And going beyond it.
And going beyond. Absolutely. Exactly. Maximizing your potential.
Absolutely. Because most people want to meet their potential. Mm-hmm. But whereas we always are meeting our potential, mm-hmm. it's going beyond where we want to.
Yes. It's strive. Maximizing. And I like to say maximize your speak potential and then maximize and go beyond your potential.
Right. So on the break, we talked about, and I'm sorry for, if you didn't see the video, but anyway, on the break, we mentioned neurosciences.
Yes. Yes, I went back because I started teaching and I started doing all of this, and I was curious, what you're talking about is like in every culture, so people are so different and all of this. And it's like, there's got to be something in the brain mm-hmm. that has to do with the way we communicate. Mm-hmm. And I've heard about neurolinguistic programming. And I said, that's the piece that I want to add, because I don't want to just be telling people stand like this, do that without a why.
Find a hand.
You know,
for your
find
hands.
This. Yeah. It's like,
no, I can't do that. I'm this.
Yeah.
You.
And there are things, but I wanted to know why. There had to be a reason behind it, because I would like to know why. So I'm not going to tell somebody without being able to tell them why.
Right.
So I started reading every single brain science book I could put my hands on, books about body language. And then I saw a course in neurolinguistic programming, and I decided to do that. I got certified in neurolinguistic programming. Mm-hmm. And that is like the language of the brain, the language of the mind, the how you talk to yourself and how other people can talk to you to influence and persuade and to change and to shift your mindset so that it's in a more positive state, in some more resourceful state, so that you have resources available that are effective and engaging and make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I started adding to my whole coaching and training pieces is the neuroscience. And so it's all in there in the fact that all the different 9 actor types that I've identified and the way and the reason behind what the brain takes in things in a certain way from our old evolution and how mm-hmm. much evolution has to do with it. Mm-hmm. So many people are like, oh, why do you have to do this? Or why do you have to stand this? Or I just want to be me.
Right. Isn't that
be good enough? And I have this big aversion right now to, I'm just being authentic. I'm being my authentic self.
A common word.
Like, okay. I'm so tired. I'm so over the word authentic, because my question is, do you want to be authentic at the expense of being effective?
Right.
And so sometimes you cannot seem what your authentic is may not be effective in the real world.
Might not be landing.
Yeah. And it may, and that's a choice. You can still, the analogy that I like to give is like yesterday I stayed home in my pajamas mm-hmm. the whole day. Mm-hmm. If I had to do a presentation, I would not show up in my pajamas.
Of course not.
I was extremely comfortable in my pajamas.
Right.
But, what's going to happen if I showed up wearing my pajamas at a presentation? They're going to have a completely different, and I would not be effective.
Right.
So sometimes when you are communicating to someone, you have to put on something mm-hmm. that may not feel extremely like you want to feel at that mm-hmm. moment. And knowing why, it's why, because the way that our brain processes information, the way that we processes the sounds and tones and body language is really having a huge effect on how that message lands with the other person.
Right.
And you have some control over that.
So how would you, for instance, I like to talk. I'm pretty comfortable in front of the room and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I have never had any formal training, mm-hmm. right? Is there any such thing? And half the time I talk, if it's not sort of, I have some guidelines, I really have no idea what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, fortunately, people have said to me what you said was really great, but I don't remember what that is,
right?
And also what I've discovered in the world of speaking is that people have a talk that they give. And I thought, you're doing the same talk over and over and over and over again. But that is what people are paying for, is that talk over and over again, is what I've learned.
Right.
So is it better to, I mean, some people are able to do it on a fly. And some people are good at having, you know, some notes or regular talking. And is it, you know, is there such a thing as a natural speaker? Are there such a thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Because in my version and my opinion of that is shifting, have been shifting lately. Because I've been a fly girl. Like, call me Jennifer Lopez, whatever. But... I was a fly girl. I could talk.
Oh, what do you mean fly girl?
I mean, talking on the fly. I was
okay,
just kidding.
All right, okay, okay.
I was one of those people that talked on the fly. Right. And so lately I'm a member of National Speakers Association. I'm on the board there. And I've been seeing and I've been hearing from a lot of speakers who are really prepare and practice. And it's like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so I started watching. I started thinking. I started analyzing. And I started thinking, you know, as an actor, I used to have to memorize monologues.
Right.
And each day I walked on stage, it had to be different. It had to be fresh.
Right.
I had to connect.
Right.
So I stopped having such a judgment about prepared speeches. And so I'm speaking in February at a group of women financial advisors, and I decided that I was going to really shape a keynote and not be the fly girl.
Right.
And it's
must
interesting.
Be something in the air.
I know, and it is extremely interesting and fun, and also liberating in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Because now I have a outline, or I have a whole speech. I don't need to have to speak to it word for word.
Right.
You know, I'm going to change it up. I'm going to add my own pizzazz. I'm going to listen to the audience. I'm going to be present with the audience and I'm going to do that. But I know where I'm going.
Right.
You know, and I know what shape it has.
Right.
And I know where to interject this and where to interject that.
Right.
And so there's a beauty in that as well. Now I'm speaking again on the 31st and it's a longer thing and I don't really have time to do that same thing. So that's going to be much more of a training thing, and I'm going to go on the fly, and I'm good on the fly.
Right.
But and at the same time, so to answer your question, there are people that are more natural than others. There are some people that could never get up and speak without notes or practice or memorization, and that's fine. But for me, I can do both. I think that I'm going to be more effective with the more rehearsed and the more the outline.
Right. So what I got, hi guys, hi Tanya, hi Red Cherry.
Hey.
What I am seeing is that when you have the notes, like you have a structure, it gives you the ability to dance with it.
Yes.
Right? And so, you know, like it took me years to learn to do the snake. And it went out of style by the time I got it, right? But what I found is that if you know how to dance with your script, so to speak, when people ask you a question, because this is your business, this is what, like, because we all have a lot of information that we know that we have, we don't know that we have, and we absolutely have no idea of what's going to show up, right? But we have it. We can dance with it. And I think the more comfortable you are in your industry, and that's why you can go on the fly, because you have a lot of background. But when you have a structure, it's more dancing. And somebody asks you a question that, you know, it has you be able to pull what you know.
Right. And the interesting thing about you, one of the things that you said is like about information. We actually have too much information and we deliver too much information. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to really structure this speech, because what I tend to do is I give so much information out.
Like a water hose?
Yes, the water hose information.
A hydrant?
And people can't remember that.
Yes.
And they get overwhelmed.
Right.
I mean, if you have too much information, people will not remember anything.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that I learned. And so that's what structure does. It's like, what more so this structure teaches me what to take out rather than what to put in.
Right.
You know, so it's like, yeah, you know what? That's not necessary. I don't have to say that. And maybe I can say it off stage or something like that. Or they'll get the gist of it by me saying this rather than me giving them all the steps and the details.
Okay. So, Robin, what is one of the or a couple of the tenets that make up a good speaker?
Good speaker. One of the most things is being, now it may sound counterintuitive when I was just talking about this authentic thing, but you do have to be honest with who it is that you are.
Right.
You know, your core, and you have to have a good intention and a value of what it is that you want to say. You know, the thing is like, what is your why? Why are you talking? What change do you want to see happen?
Right.
If you don't have a reason to speak, if you don't have a change that you want your audience or your listener to embark on, then there's no reason for you to be speaking.
Right.
You know, it's like, I feel like the first thing that you want to think about is what your values are and what value you're bringing to the people that you're talking to.
Right.
And not only is that important for figuring out what to say, but it's really important for combating your nerves. Because what people are so nervous about is being judged and being seen and being like, oh, what are they going to think about this, 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 this. But when you really get up there and you start thinking about what I'm going to give, what that person is going to leave the audience feeling, thinking, doing, understanding, when that's the key to your message, that's going to make you less nervous. And it also gives you that whole shape. So knowing who you are, knowing your value is the key one. And being comfortable in your own skin.
How do you get, like, how does an individual get comfortable? For me, I used to think I was nervous, but it really was, I was excited.
Yeah.
Right? Because the nerves is one thing.
Yeah.
The excitement can be similar. Right?
They're the two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely. And then it's like how to manage the nerves because you're so excited to be there to share. Like, how do you pull that in? Because some people can't, you know.
Yeah, there are many, many different ways. Some people get so nervous that I tell them to do jumping jacks before they go on stage. You know, because then that kind of alleviates that. And sometimes it's breathing. So again, it's going to depend on what you're like and what your whole makeup is like. So some people need to do that deep breathing. Some people need to do jumping jacks. Some people need to just focus on the people in the audience. And
so I heard speak to the back of the room so that you can, your voice can be thrown into the back of the room.
Yeah. I have vocal exercises that people do. So that's one thing, but it's more complicated that because at the same time you need to speak to the people in front of you
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, you're speaking to people back and forth, right? You're making eye contact.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, I just finished doing a 2-day boot, a whole thing for National Speakers Association, where we took 15 speakers, emerging speakers, people who, like, they're business people, they'd never been speakers before. And we helped them come up with their content, come up with their purpose, their why in their speeches. And then they had to do 5-minute speeches. And over the weekend. And so for between Saturday and Sunday, I'm sitting there like with individuals saying, oh no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And in the fly, they had to switch it up. And every single one of them did it. By Sunday, they did an amazing job of presenting.
Okay. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 877-480-4120. Hi, Mike.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And as you can tell by my face, I'm loving this show. This show is really, really great. So I have another question for you. And mm-hmm. this is one of these old adages from way back in the when. And like, I don't even want to think about it. But like, there used to be a statement that says for speakers to imagine the audience naked.
Right? Or in their underwear.
To me, that's gross.
It's horrible. And the other thing that's horrible about it is it's already making them lesser than you.
Oh,
you know, and that's what I don't like. You're diminishing your audience. And who? And if you're up there thinking of them in a very weakened position, then that puts you in this position. It's like, oh, look, I'm better than you.
Right.
You don't need that. You want to be equal.
Partnership.
You know, like, I'm okay, you're okay. And let's do this together.
Right.
But if you're sitting up there saying, you are naked, so I can do whatever I want.
Right.
I mean, that's not a relationship that I think
it's not a very
is
powerful
effective.
Place yeah. to come from.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of power, the other thing that in both ways, like sometimes we, and that would be giving you taking all the power and taking all the power away from the audience. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we do is we give the audience too much power mm-hmm. sometimes. You know, one of the things that I've been noticing is like I have these bunch of female clients and I work with them not only on their like in front of a stage, but in their meetings, in their interpersonal work communication. Mm. And so a couple of them were going over their beginning of their meetings with me recently. And so they would start their meeting. And these are women who were in this positions of power. And they would start the meeting with, thank you all for coming. And all of a sudden I said, no, stop. Wait a minute. These are your direct reports, right? Do they have a choice?
No.
No. They have to be at that meeting. So why are you thanking them for coming to the meeting? As soon as you start thanking them for coming to the meeting, you have then raised their status.
Right.
And so again, that equal thing is like, it's great. You can say, I'm so excited you're here. It's great that you're here. It's great to see you. We're going to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
You know, but what?
I've been doing it right then.
No.
Because I usually go, I'm so happy to see you guys. It's
like
so great that you're here.
Exactly.
Because I truly believe that it's really great.
That's
that
empowering.
People are here.
Right. Yeah, and so many times you have speakers come up, thank you all for coming. It's like, whoa, so what are you saying? They have better options to be? Like, let me figure out what my other option
is,
maybe.
Grateful.
You know?
I'm always grateful because it's an opportunity to, like, learn something, share something, do our mission. I'm always excited about that.
Right, yeah. And it doesn't mean that you're not grateful for them to be there, but starting off by saying thank you, it is not a very powerful place to start from. And therefore, it weakens you and your message and your energy. It just weakens your energy. And I feel like the way that we start
and
is so important.
And it doesn't seem authentic. If I'm the boss and I'm thanking you for being here, you got no choice.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, it's like, okay,
you mean I didn't have to come?
Yeah, tomorrow, next time I won't show up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So another question that I have is in the world of social media, everybody wants to be an influencer.
Like,
and everybody is talking about stuff, right? Is there a way to talk on the internet and, you know, like, is there an internet way to speak? That's kind of a silly question, just the way I said it. But social media is playing a big role in our lives today, right?
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to get likes. Everybody wants to do business. And we're all doing it for a purpose, I'm hoping, right? So is there any particular way that one could, you know, has to sound?
Yeah.
Or is that a sticky one?
Yeah, that's a sticky one. It's not my particular area of expertise, but one of the things that I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier is really having a purpose of what it is you want to accomplish.
Right.
You know, what it is that you want to do to change the world. I mean, it sounds really really large, but the thing is, my mission is to help everybody reach their potential by speaking better,
right?
You know, and communicating better and getting along better through communication, getting promotions because they've improved their communication. So that's something that I'm really clearly passionate about.
Right.
So whenever I can talk to that in an honest way and then share a little bit about my personal story and not just sell, 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 sell.
Right. Which is annoying. Right?
Or just even talk about how great I am or how much I've done and all this. And it is a very,
that's
very
boring
fine
too.
Line.
I know.
So it's a very fine line because there is so much noise out there. And finding out what your niche is and finding out what your voice is really, really can be difficult.
Right.
But one of the things that it goes back to is like, what do you value? What are your values? What value do you bring to the situation? And how can you demonstrate that?
Right. You know, that word niche, when I first heard it, like when I went into become a coach, before that I was a real estate broker and I did that for about 15 years. And then I decided that, like, I didn't decide, it was something that I knew I always wanted to do, but I didn't know what it was called. I called myself the rah-rah person, right? And so I became a coach. And so when somebody said, you have to find a niche, I was like, niche? I don't know what bloody niche is. Yeah. But what I did was I actually interviewed all my clients and asked them what they got from me in the early days. What they got and what I got to create for myself was my clients own their voice, speak their truth, not anybody else's, their truth, and get to live life their way. So if things are not working, they get to speak it in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. They get to share themselves in a powerful way. Then in that moment, they get to recreate something else. And then ultimately what turns out is they get to live the life that they want to live. So there's a lot of things that they have to face, all the basic things that to make us whole, to make us a human being. And the ultimate goal for me and the mission was that we be happy. Because if I'm happy, then you get to be in my presence, you become happy, and it goes on and on and on. So each one teach one, each one coaches one. You learn, I learn. And that's the commitment that I had as a coach and have as a coach. And even with this show, it's like having you teach people, show people, share with them what you've gotten over your life and that you're actually living your passions, your dreams, and speaking your truth and what's important to you.
Right.
And that's my mission,
right?
You know, but it took some time to actually get to that space. It wasn't overnight, but I think the difference between somebody that wants to just be an influencer because they just want to be an influencer is that there's no staying power if you don't have a real committed intention, because you're not going to stay the course.
Yeah. And the intention part is like, and that's why the intention in your life experiences, and I just feel like it may sound very airy-fairy, but I feel like we're put on this life in this earth for a purpose.
It's not airy-fairy.
And so that purpose reveals itself through experiences that you've had along the way.
Absolutely.
So every time I meet with a new client, when we're dealing with branding and stuff, it really goes down to, I ask this question, like, what did you want to be when you were 8 years old?
Right.
Because that so many times
I want you to be on stage.
It has to do with what your values are. And then when you marry them and find a way to have them show up nice and bright and shiny, because every value has a reason and has some effect.
So shiny is one of my words.
Yeah,
I always tell my clients, that's so great. Well, I always tell my clients that, you know, you're going to be shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that you're going to become attractive.
Right.
People are going to get attracted to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're going to open, because this thing comes through.
Yeah.
Your energy starts to share, because that's all we are,
energy.
And I don't think it's airy-fairy. We are here. We all have a mission.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I say, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a ballet dancer. Right. I wanted to be on stage. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, it's like in the stages, it doesn't have to be a stage.
Right.
But it could be a world, your own world stage that you're creating. Because this here is a world. Right. And you have a world. And together we create a world where we do what we do. And that's what I love. So it's not airy fairy at all.
No, it's really, I mean, and I see it in people. And I feel like one of the things that I like to do is uncover and polish all the crap that's been laid over that mission.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is we get labels put on as like, you know, I was shy. And that is true.
I talk too much.
Underneath that, there was something there that the more it got polished and the more people started peeling the layers off, the more I was able to shine through.
Absolutely.
And so, and we have that. But that shyness are the leadership skills that now every time that when I ask clients what they get from me or why they like working with me, it's like, I get this a lot. You have this quiet strength, you know, because I, you know, and that shy person will come forward, but I also will not mince any words and tell them exactly what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that trust, and then there's this quietness that is a great mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
then
there's this, also that level of respect.
Exactly. Yeah. And the mindfulness of it, you know, it's just being mindful and all of that, you know, and that, so there's that trust and respect that happens.
Right. So, you know, you said mindfulness, right? And that's become a really popular word. Authenticity, intentional, all the words. These are the, what are the most popular words that people are using now in their talks?
Well, whatever it is, you need to switch it up, you know, but innovation is a, you know, being disruptive, innovating, inspirational, all of those things.
Right.
But every time I hear a word that is often used, what my mind then goes to is like, how do you change it up? You know, because I realized that someone in one of the speech over the weekend used the phrase, when life gives you lemons, you have to make lemonade. It's like, no, you know, it's like I wanted her to get out of that.
Right.
And, you know, make, when life gives you lemons, make lemon meringue pie. You
know,
it's like something like that. You know, so
make a mouthwash, make a cup of tea.
Right. So it's like there's a way to twist everything.
Right.
And my mind always goes to the twist. So
because it's boring and you don't want to be a cliche.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's like, and I think that, so how do people, like, I have a personality, I am a personality, I am a character, I'm all those things that people have said. There's a whole world to me, right? So it's how do you teach people to dance with who they are?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's, for me, it's easy. I just look at them and I bring out the things that are important. And then I also, sometimes you have to tamp down things that are distracted. So it's about, to me, it's about that perfect marriage between the best in you that is going to be siphoned through to be able to be understood by the most people.
Right.
The understood and felt by the most people. You know, and so that's going to be emotional and it's going to be logical, that nice mix.
Right.
You know, when things are way too over the top, it may be turning people off.
Right.
And so then I will have to bring somebody down back, you know, and just recently I was tasked to help a team at Con Edison do a presentation that they had to do for their CEOs. And so there are four women completely different. And so I had to coach them all completely differently to get the best out of them, you know, and it was a really wonderful experience because sometimes it was just about some of it was vocal stuff that some of them had, and some of it was engagement stuff. It was like, oh, that word is boring. How about we start this way? Mm-hmm. How about we think about this? How about we go a little bit deeper into the facts here because we need that to support it?
Right.
How about we pull away from some of these facts because it's too much? It's going to hit them in the head and they're not going to be able to absorb anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so really is, when you talk about dance, it is a dance to figure out individually what that person needs and for what audience. You have to really think about your audience as well.
Right. Do we need to take a break? Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Robin Hatcher. Yeah, how do you
speaking?
I'm a speaker and a spoken. How did people deal with that when they make a screw up?
Yeah. Right?
What do you do? I just usually just go, oh, let's do that again.
No, you don't need to do it again. You can, if it's a huge screw up, I always say something.
Yes.
The worst thing is to ignore it, because what happens is in your head you start going down the rabbit holes, like, oh my gosh, I just screwed up, I'm such an idiot, blah, 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 blah. And then the next 5 minutes is a mess because you're still in the past.
Right.
Yeah. And most of the time people don't notice.
Right. Exactly. So for me, it's usually my tongue gets caught somewhere. So I was just saying to you, in terms of somebody speaking, they're on stage, they've written a speech or talk, mm-hmm. and they come into the room, and how do you teach them to read the energy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. Flexibility is very, very important. First of all, you have to, the speech starts before you get on stage. You know, so the best thing to do is to start greeting people before you start speaking, no matter mm-hmm. where you are. If it's a huge event, no matter what, get there early enough to shake a couple of hands, because mm-hmm. then you're mixing that energy up and you're mm-hmm. feeling the energy right ahead. The other thing is to start with energy. When you start with energy mm-hmm. and start with something that's surprising and shocking, mm-hmm. what you're doing is you're shocking somebody out of their comfort zone mm-hmm. and bringing them into your comfort zone. Okay. So it's such an important thing to not start with. Not ever start with hello, my name is, and I am going to talk to you about. That is the kiss of speaking death.
So I can't say hello, my name is Noreen Sumter, and I am the vice president of member engagement.
No.
Okay.
No.
I said that today.
You can just
kiss of death. I'm dead.
You can barely get away with it. But I mean, but you know, when you stand in front of the room, everybody's expecting that. And so what happens is there's a little part of their brain that turns off. It's like, oh, she's going to say her name, and then she's going to say what she's going to do. And then maybe I'll pay attention by the third or fourth sentence.
Right.
What you want to do is you want to shake their energy up by right. making them like, whoa, this is not business as usual.
Right.
So, okay, who here has ever been engaged? Okay. Well, I'm a member of, I am dealing with member engagement right here. You know, something silly, like, whoa, engage, why are you talking about engage? I mean, what are you talking about? Right. You know, so, I mean, that's a silly one, but.
I asked them who, if they knew what, like, do you know what I do? Member engagement. What does that sound like to you?
Yeah, yeah. So something like that. So shaking them up and feeling that energy and being flexible with the energy is so important, because first of all, when you write something down, mm-hmm. It's tricky to write something down, because we write differently than we speak.
Absolutely.
And so if you're going to write something down, then throw it away and then speak it and then record it and then write.
That's what I did. I did exactly that. I recorded it so I could hear it.
Yeah.
I can see what was missing, how I needed to word things the
beautiful.
Correct way. Yeah, I did that. So
yeah.
Now how do you help, you know, like, because one has to be present, right? You mm-hmm. have to be read energy of the room. One has to be present. How do you help them stay out of their heads?
I mean...
It's a dangerous playground.
Yeah, the head is a terrible place to be.
It's 12 o'clock.
Yeah. And that staying present really is, again, about making sure that you are there to give something.
Right.
You're not there to vomit your content.
Right.
You're there to give something. And all of a sudden, if you look up, and that's why eye contact from the stage is so incredibly important, because that whole, there is another old thing that people say, oh, look over your audience's head. Oh, right. Great. You're looking over their, oh, there's
so they're naked.
Yeah.
They've got their underwear on and you're looking over their head.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Which means you can't see when everybody takes out their phone and starts, you know, or starts yawning. And so if you're looking at their audience, their eyes, and you're making eye contact and you see like 2 or 3 or 5 people, you can get to see when their eyes start to glaze over. Now it's time to change it up. No matter where your speech was, it's now time to do something different. You know, whether it's to move differently, whether it's to ask a question, whether it's to get some something like that. So it's really is being nimble.
Right.
You know, as a speaker, you got to be nimble and feel the energy.
Right.
And it becomes a very difficult thing sometimes, but you got to learn it.
And so would you say with people, it's practice, 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 practice?
It's practice and openness. You know, it's like in that mindset of that being generous and sharing. You know, it's like whenever, you can catch yourself. You can right. catch yourself being up there and saying, I just need to get through this. It's like, oh no, there are actually people up there
yeah.
that need what I need to say. Yeah. You know, and that's, and this is my latest analogy, which I love. It's like, and it has to do with, like, if you were given this gift.
Well, you are. More of, it's a gift.
Yeah, you're giving
attention.
A gift. And this whole thing about networking and women are not giving your all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a gift, and every time you open your mouth, it's like being able to open your purse and take out a delicious meal and feeding people.
You're nourishing people.
You're nourishing people each time.
Right.
And so you have the gift of every time you open your mouth, you got this meal to come out. Why not give it to them?
Absolutely.
You know, give them that meal and nourish them. And that's what it's about. It's about nourishing your audience and finding, and if you don't, if you open your bag and you open your mouth and it's empty and there's no more nourishment, it's like, well, okay, fine. But I'm going to stop talking.
And that nourishment starts with you.
Yeah.
Then it goes out to
yeah.
the people.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it's important that we connect with people.
Yeah.
That we share with mm-hmm. people. It's not about selling, because if we share what we have, we automatically,
right.
it will be sold, because nobody wants to be sold. We're too sophisticated today on this planet yeah. to be sold.
It's too sophisticated, too jaded,
yeah.
and too, yeah.
We know too much.
Yeah, yeah, we know too
so,
much.
So, Robin, do you have anything that you would like to, any events, any things that you would like to share with people?
I'm doing a lot of, like, January... Thursday, this coming Thursday, I'm on a panel with Tanya Sterl and a couple of other people, and we're talking about the imposter syndrome. And I would love, and I have a book that I talk about the standing ovation presentations, and I'm putting together a masterclass. So if you go to my website or reach out to me, I would like to do a masterclass on public speaking and interpersonal communication, calling Maximize Your Speak Potential. So I really would love to have people
and
reach out if they would
reach
it. You can email me at Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, at speaketc.com.
Mm-hmm.
So Robin at speaketc.com, or hit me up on LinkedIn, Robin Hatcher, R-O-B-Y-N-H-A-T-C-H-E-R.
And she's going to be at the luncheon next month.
Yes.
What
and
at the novel, again,
it's
20-something.
February 22nd, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's the 22nd, but I'm not 100% sure, but you can go into the NABO website.
No, it can't be the 22nd because I'm doing something else.
Well, it's one of those dates, right? Come on. You can't expect me to keep all this in my head, right? And
yeah.
so, yeah, you can go into the NABO website, nabo.nyc. Yeah. And you can find out what she has there.
Yeah.
And so Robin Hatcher, give me your website again.
RobinHatcher.com. Come to my website, RobinHatcher.com. That's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin at SpeakETC.com, Twitter, SpeakETC.com. And that's me. And I'm open, you know, I have a quiz on my, if you want to find out what your actor type is, mm-hmm. there's a quiz on my website on communication skills quiz. It's a really brief quiz that you can come out to see if you're a buddy, an ingenue, a sex symbol, or a hero.
A sex symbol?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think I am?
You are a cross between a superhero.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I think you are actually probably mostly a superhero.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So, no.
Maybe a little bit of comic in there, too.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I did stand yeah. up twice. It's not for me. I do
right.
like having fun on stage,
mm-hmm.
and I do like to share with fun element, because
right.
I'm all about fun,
yeah.
and I'm all about joy, and I'm like really committed to being happy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to be happy, I'm not the person mm-hmm. for you. You know, but I really,
yeah, the
really
comic in there.
Mm-hmm. we got three more minutes. So what would you like to leave people in? What's one thing that you could actually leave people with that they could actually use tomorrow? And this could be, because not only are we speaking, doing presentations,
mm-hmm.
but we're speaking in our lives.
Yes. So the thing is, every conversation is a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three elements of your presentation. You've got to think about what's in it for them,
mm-hmm.
The why, and you have to also think about your body language and your vocal tone, because it makes me crazy when they do not match. You know, it's like standing within your power, standing with your shoulders back, standing with your head held high, and in a position of power, not covering up any of your torso, which then is going to distract and hide part of your body. It gives you this open posture. Make sure that you're open. Make sure your gestures are above your waist and sharing an open hand. And make sure that you use your diaphragm when you speak and not just this like really wimpy voice or do these terrible tonal things like making everything sound like a question. These are some of the things that I know that can make or break your communication and make or break how people see you and how people respond to you. So those are some of the things that I really want you to think about. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it.
Right.
One of my favorite quotes that I'll leave you with, Ralph Waldo Emerson said,
he said that. See, you also have to have a sense of humor.
You do. What Ralph Waldo Emerson said is what you do. Speak so loud, I cannot hear what you say.
Right.
And so many times we are doing things that are getting in the way of us being heard. And I would love for you to get out of your own way and be heard.
Thank you so much for being on the show. See, that's why we're live. That's why we're just real, because these things happen.
Yeah.
You know? So thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you guys got value. And I look forward to talking to you again next week on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.